Matthew 21. In traditional terms, this is Palm Sunday, the Sunday before Resurrection Sunday. And this is the what they call Holy Week, which means everything that happened this week was to inaugurate King Jesus. And he came to town on the Sunday before today. He came to town in order to be made king. And in the Old Testament, it says, you will know that he's king because he will come to you riding on a ass and the colt of an ass. And so that's what this scripture is saying. Here is the Messiah of Israel. Jesus is the Messiah of Israel. So let's read it. And when they drew near unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, Beit in Hebrew is house, and phage is fig, so house of figs. Now, what you may not know, that the symbol of Israel in the Bible was the fig tree. And so this house of figs, he stops off at exactly on time and is in that place. So this is where the whole story begins of his inauguration as King of Israel. King of Israel. The problem is that Israel is not holy. The problem is that she was holy because she kept the law, but she didn't keep the law. So under the law, the Bible says, nothing is made perfect under a law. In other words, someone expecting you to do something. God never, never, never wants you to worry about and do something to please him. He's already pleased with you. So God doesn't want you to make an offering, to make any vows, to do anything that would please him, since he's already pleased with you. He created you. He put his whole law on your heart. He wrote it on everybody's heart, not that's born, but someone that 9 months earlier was conceived in the womb. So a newborn baby, like Jesus, already knew that he was going to be king someday. As a matter of fact, all of the narratives for Christmas time, we call Christmas, is all about how everything spoke to God. Am I probably touching my thing or something? No, it's not me. So somebody's car is beeping or somebody. Hello. Okay. So these narratives speak of Jesus as the king. He is the king in the Old Testament. Is that a virgin? Alma in Hebrew, meaning you're a virgin, but you haven't not yet been with anybody. So you're pure. So she was a virgin. And because of that, Parthenia in Greek. And because of that, she brought forth the light into the world. This is the true light that enlightens every man. So the light of God is what everyone is missing because it's the eternal life. The life in him was the light of men. So the life is the light. In other words, once you receive Jesus by faith, once you receive Jesus by faith, not by law, but by faith, then everything is settled. You are now a candidate for, because of your birth, you're a candidate for not only to being filled with the Spirit every day, but being led of the Spirit all the days of your life while you're on the earth. And so Jesus stopped off at this fig tree, and we'll talk about that in a moment when we get to that point. But the fig tree is the symbol of true Israel. But this fig tree that he's going to look at in a few minutes, this fig tree the next morning, this fig tree was not ready because of the law, because nothing is made perfect under a law. Someone expecting you to please God will be disappointed. You are not perfect, and you will never be perfect except by faith. By faith that Jesus Christ lived your life before you were even born. He lived a life for you so that when you are now an adult, you are able to be holy. You are able to be able to please God by your thank you, your praise, your adoration that pleases God, and to fulfill that law to love your neighbor equally as you love yourself, to regard the neighbor equally as you love yourself. Now, that's every day, so some days you have days where you're not following God. They're all covered in the blood. They're covered in the blood of Jesus, and God wants you to know that I'm not going to send anyone to hell because of sin. I'm not going to send anyone or prevent anyone from going to heaven because of sin. What I'm preventing is the new definition of sin. Sin is now unbelief. You either believe a promise or you don't believe a promise. Whereas with the law, you either obey the law or you don't obey the law. In our case, because of faith, He has now adopted you as His child, meaning you are now in line for being born of the Spirit, led of the Spirit, and every day filled with the Spirit of God, so that when men see your good works, they won't glorify you. When men see your good works, they'll glorify the Father who dwells in you through the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that you're able to then show Him and not yourself. Because we are not good, we'll never be good, even for all eternity, unless you're in relationship, a loving, tender relationship, which can begin today. It can begin right now. So anyone today said, that's what I want. I want my faith to be alive. I don't want it to be dead. I want eternal life to not only be in me, but I also want it to produce new life, the newness of life that comes from knowing Jesus Christ. So it's going to happen as a young child. You're able to hear about Jesus and receive Him right away. We prayed that as our kids were born. And so when they were born, we'd already spoken to them. We'd already prayed over them so that they would be believers as they grew up. And it's true that when you trust the Lord will give you the perfect gift. Your children are a gift of God. And it's amazing to me, after all the sin in the world, that God still answers those prayers. He still honors those prayers, especially if you believe in Him, if you have faith in Him, that He is your righteousness. You don't have any righteousness. You never will have any righteousness. Even your righteousness is based upon a relationship, not to somebody else, but to Jesus Christ Himself, because He has life in Himself, as the Father has life in Himself. You do not. You'll always be derivative. Your life is always dependent upon the dependence you have upon Jesus Christ being your Savior, being your Lord, being your Bridegroom. So this inauguration of Jesus didn't take place because of what happened today. As Jesus came forth to be the king, instead they crucified Him. Instead they killed Him. And so He was cut off in midweek as Daniel, the 9th chapter, the 26th and 27th verse, do declare that during the last week, I've written it on the board, everything between now and eternity is all there on the board. I could pick 50 things, 100 things easily. But it's all there, meaning those are the events that are the main events of the time we have between now and the new heaven and the new earth. The new heaven and the new earth are not only you, they're you in your resurrected unto new life Now, it isn't today. When you're born again, you're not resurrected right away. Your heart is pure, but your soul is not, and your body is not. We have fears in us, we have doubts in us, we have judgment of others, and we do wicked things without meaning to, without wanting to. They're just there because it's a habit with us. It's something that we've developed over a long period of time. And everything in the Word of God, everything in the Bible, everything, every word that's written is to attack your mind. It's not God. Your will, it's not God. Your emotions, they are not God. And if you follow after those, you are an idolater, even though it's in you. So you are not to be an idolater worshiping something other than Jesus Christ. And all your behavior is due to the fact that you're unstable in all your ways because you're double-minded. And so the God wants every day to renew our minds. That's why we come to church on the Lord's Day like today. We come to church together as a whole body. Otherwise, in the week, we also have meetings during the week. But they are other occasions that we have to come together, but everyone should come together on the Lord's Day. Why is that a law? That's not a law. It's not a law. It's just something the church spontaneously did by the power of the Holy Spirit. They came together on the Lord's Day from day one. The early church was focused on baptism, the baptism of water, the baptism of water. Later, power of the Holy Spirit to complete that baptism, different baptisms, plural. But that was the focus of the early church. Let's call that the past. So the early church for the first few centuries focused on, if you're a Christian, it's what Jesus did that counts, his work. That's what counts. But in the Middle Ages, from about the year 600 on, during the whole Catholic Church revival and their church issues under the papacy, they fell away from Jesus and began to now focus on the Lord's Supper as the thing that's present. Right now, we're between the two, first coming and second coming, number one and number four. The first coming and second coming. So those two things. And they didn't know how long that would last, but it's lasted over 2,000 years from the time Jesus was born and then was crucified at age 30. You began your ministry at age 30, and Jesus began his ministry. He lived a perfect life. He was the only one because he is the Son of God and the Son of Man. And he came down so that you could go up. He came down to earth so that you could go up. And he was to be the King of Kings, and the earth would be like number five on the board. Number five is the thousand-year millennium. Hasn't happened yet because the tribulation hasn't happened yet. And that's still a way off. It's not tomorrow. It's not next year. It's not the next year. It's a way off. Some people are looking forward to 7 years. But I've divided the seven into two parts, first coming and second coming. The first coming is when Jesus comes back again after the devil tries to replace him in Daniel's 70th week. Because he's trying to say that I am the God you're looking for. And he will use all power, miracles, signs, wonders to deceive the entire world except us. You will not be here at that time. You will be up in the air with Jesus as he comes back. As soon as that trumpet sounds, you'll be there during the tribulation, but you will not be in an unsafe place, especially if you're a Christian, because God will make a way where for the whole 1260 days, you'll be in a safe refuge, in a place that the devil cannot find. I know all things that I'm saying to you because I read the Bible every day, every day, every day. It's my job. But I do read the Bible not for knowledge. I read the Bible for truth. to understand the certainty of this truth, that it's to be applied today, because I want to be like God. God is good. I also want to be good, but it's derivative. And I have to be in relationship to Him, because He's the one that does all the work. He's the one that births you again. He's the one that also sustains you from day to day and helps you then to suffer with Him, because your mind and your will and your emotions are going to suffer. You cannot read the Bible without being convicted every day that there is still sin abiding in you. So every day, could I hear an amen?
Amen.
Every day, we still sin. Okay, so then does God reject us? No, He does not. Because of the work of Jesus, He's your righteousness. When you appear before God, you'll answer not about your life, how you chose things one way or the other. You'll be there to certify, to be a witness for, that Jesus' life was my life. When He was crucified, I was crucified. When He rose from the dead, I rose from the dead. When He sits at the right hand of God, I sit there now. In your heart. That's in your heart. Now, He wants to get that in your soul, and He wants to get that in your behavior, so that you're able to live a holy life. So the Bible says something like this. Seek righteousness, but do not sin. So the Bible doesn't want any Christian on this earth to sin. So it's my job and David's job and everyone else, Danny and Jeff and so on and so forth, my own son David. All these men have only to share with you, and they're not the only ones, but to share with you what God is saying so that you hear the truth and it will set you free. If you don't hear the truth by people that are men of God, it won't happen. So it's important for you to hear and then pass it on to others. We're teaching you to be holy, not to look at our holiness. We're not saying we're holy. We're saying we're not, we're just like you. But we are saying this, that you're going to have to answer for your own life. And up there, when you see chair 7, that's the great white throne judgment, when everybody will be raised from the dead, whether they're in the water or in the sea, whether they're buried in a grave or however they've lived their life, they'll all have to give an account for being a steward or not a steward of God's goodness, because we're the only ones that have a God who's good. Now, I'm going to explain that. Why is the Muslim God not good? Why is the Buddhist God not good? Why is all the other gods not good? Because they're all under a law. They're trying to behave themselves, and that is the last thing that God wants. The biggest sin in the Bible is the yoke of bondage. You are in bondage to a law that, even though it be God's law, you cannot fulfill. As a matter of fact, the reason God gave His law to Israel was so that she could realize she cannot fulfill God's law. She misunderstood that and thought, God wants me to be nice or wants me to be moral or wants me to be true. It's not true. You're not moral or nice or anything. This is not the work of flesh. It's the work of the Spirit of God. Jesus Christ has done that for you. He's the first fruits from the dead. He can no longer die. And He now is making us the first fruits. So Jesus comes to down and to be in the temple of God. But on the way, He's distracted by this Bethphage, this house of figs, on the way. But there's a reason for it. And after that, He approaches then the temple. So let's read about that on Palm Sunday. And this is what happened on that day. And when they drew nigh to Jerusalem, Yerushalayim, and were come to Bethphage unto the Mount of Olives, that's where it is, then sent Jesus 2 disciples, saying to them, go into the village over against you, in other words, opposite where you are, and straightway you will find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, which is another name for Israel, behold, thy king cometh unto you, meek, and sitting on an ass and a colt, the foal of an ass. Now, what Jesus is saying here by this particular scripture is he is the king, but he's not the king of unholy people, because God is good and he's true and he's righteous and he's just, and everything about God is wonderful. No other God is like that. No other God. They're under a law trying to behave themselves. It won't work. It's never worked and it never will work. That's why you had 6,000 years of church history where they've all failed to bring peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Never has it happened. Never. Even when Jesus was here, they killed him. Before he could step up to the throne, before he could be inaugurated, before he could start his kingdom, they killed him. Now, we are now the remnant of the first fruits from the dead, who will, when Jesus does come back the second time, that's the end. When he comes back the second time, that's the end of Daniel's week, not the one that Satan tried to abort, that Satan tried to fulfill, because Satan wanted to be Jesus before he came. And so Jesus, when he comes, you will be far. This is so powerful. You will be the first resurrection. You will be those that when that trumpet sounds and Jesus is about to come back, you'll be the ones that will run toward him. Everyone else will be running away because they know he comes to put vengeance on the wicked and reward to the righteous ones. And you'll meet him up in the air. You will not even be here during that time. I told you about the time when you might be in a house of refuge during the tribulation. We don't believe in pre-trib. We believe in post-trib. After the tribulation, when Jesus comes back, then you'll be in a refuge, and then he'll meet you in the air. Well, you'll never come back. You'll not be on this earth. This earth that I'm picturing for you on the board here is Daniel's 70th week. It lasts until everything is finished. What's everything? Death itself is removed from the earth. Because after the last throne judgment up there, seven, after that great white throne judgment, now we know what color that throne is. We're not just guessing here. We know exactly every detail. It's all throughout the Bible. You read your Bible every day. Everyone, you have to read your Bible. If you don't, you'll be surprised at what's happening because you'll get mixed up. For example, something you don't know. I don't think anyone knows. There are three nations that the Antichrist, during his time up there, three, during his time up there, he will be putting down three nations. And one of those nations produces the Antichrist himself. I know exactly which one it is. I know exactly where he comes from, because it's all prophesied in the Old Testament. And when you read the New Testament, you have to realize that everything that's new has actually been told from the beginning. Everything that's new in the New Testament is the fulfillment of what was a type in the Old Testament, and now the antitype is the true fulfillment of what was spoken. So everything that you read in the Bible, the whole Bible, not just the New Testament, but the whole Bible, has to be fulfilled exactly as God said. The reason why people mix it up, you don't have to blame them. The reason why they do is because they don't read the whole Bible. And because you don't, you're sadly mistaken about what's going on today, as though the New Testament had replaced the Old Testament. It has not. So the Jewish people still have a role, which you can read about in Romans 9, 10, and 11. That role is what the Jewish people will experience, they also be part of the first resurrection, though they're Jewish, though they were under a law. But at the last minute, when that trump sounds, those that are ready, God knows, and he's got them numbered. He knows exactly their number. And each one will provide its quota out of the tribe of Benjamin. Every tribe has its own name, and they all will supply that thing. So there'll be Jew and Gentile together, us and them together. And it can't be otherwise. So when that happens, they will be up in heaven with us. But there'll be other Jews on the earth who didn't expect Jesus to come back. They had no faith. They had no faith. They didn't even hear the gospel, and they weren't interested in it. So they had no faith, so there's no way they could get there. There are saints in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament. And those saints in Old and New, some of them are written in the book of Hebrews in the 11th chapter. You can read about them. Like Moses, even the one that gave the law, he's also included in that. And all kinds of saints in the Old Testament that did believe, like even King David, he said to God, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned. I've sinned against you, God, not against my wife, not against my bride, not against the girl I'm messing with. I've sinned against everybody. Not only that, I know that the only sin is against you. Because if I miss the first commandment, I missed all the rest." So the first four commandments are all about your worship to God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, and et cetera, et cetera. Those first four are love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all your strength, and to complete the law, love your neighbor as yourself. Because love is the completion of that law. So that sound of that voice is, this is all that God wanted from you, and no one has ever done it. You cannot say, I did that from my youth, like the guy in the Bible said that. I did that from my youth. Well, no, you didn't. And so no one has ever fulfilled God's law ever at any time. Jesus fulfilled it for you. That's your righteousness. Your righteousness that Jesus worshiped God with all his heart, his soul, his strength, and loved his neighbor as himself. Jesus is the example. Believing on Jesus is the only hope you need to have eternal life. If you're a believer and you continue in that, it isn't a one-time event. I was born again. Oh, last week I was born again. 50 years ago I was born again. It isn't that. It's that you have to be a believer, born again, filled with the Spirit. You become a heavenly person in your heart. But you haven't become a heavenly person in your soul or in your life yet. So that's what we're working on now, to make sure your soul is lined up with your heart. And that's impossible, because you can't do anything. You can't save yourself, you can't sanctify yourself, and you can't glorify yourself. So since you can do nothing, the whole message that we have as a church is God himself provides the atonement. He is the one that provided that what you need, that what you owe God, God paid it for you. God paid it for you. He's just free. He's just free. He's free. Just ask him for anything. You need healing, he heals. You need deliverance, he delivers. Anything you have, you can ask him for it. But down here, between his first coming and his second coming, we don't understand everything that's written in the Bible, and we should be reading it every day. We should be constantly reading it, because miracles and signs would happen if we believed. But you can't just believe because you hear a message. You can't just believe because you hear something exhorting you to be a Christian. This is between you and Jesus. This is between you and Jesus. This is personal with you. He only saves persons. He only saves persons. He wrote upon your heart when you were conceived, and in that moment, he wrote his law upon your heart and said, this child is mine forever. This child is mine. Now, God can do anything he wishes with it, but he wrote his law on you, and no one has ever kept that law except Jesus. And now your relationship to Jesus is your only way to God. The only way you can receive your eternal life is by being connected with Jesus by faith. Why? Because he's my righteousness. He is everything to me. He's my life. He's my love. He's my everything to me. He is everything. You can't think of anything he hasn't done. But he's wanting his own people to wake up, not be lukewarm, but be hot. That means being zestos. That means being completely heart and soul and strength, everything. And that's daily. Every day you have to wake up and say, no more pride. I don't want any more anger. That's why it says in the Bible, make no provision for sin. And as you raise your children, you make them so that they behave. That they behave you when they're young. They don't know the difference between law and gospel. They just know what you told them. And they tend to trust you if you don't abuse them. They tend to trust you feeling you're telling me the truth. And if you don't spoil that, they'll grow up to be a believer. So he's given us, I'm the only ones, we're the only ones, we're the only ones. He's given Christians that message, that reconciling message to reconcile you to God. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. So God was in Christ, God himself was in Christ reconciling the world. He forgives sinners. He only is looking for sinners. So you all began as a sinner long before you were born. You all began as a sinner. So when you come out of the womb, you're already then needing to hear the truth that'll set you free. Don't rely on your mind. Don't rely on your emotions. Don't rely on imagination. Don't rely on anything related to the equipment God has given you in birth. Rely on another birth to be born again, anothen, to be born from above, because you are to be a heavenly child. Your mortality will put on immortality. Your corruption will put on incorruption, and so on. Someday you will be a heavenly creature because you're born of the Spirit. You need to be filled with the Spirit every day, and you need to be led of the Spirit so that your deeds actually are so effective that people, when they see your good works, they don't glorify you. They glorify your Father in heaven. She's one of Jesus' child. He's one of Jesus' sons. That one, the way they live, you can tell they're Christians, and we glorify God. The pagans won't do that unless indeed you are really filled with the Spirit and led of the Spirit. Doesn't mean you don't sin. It just simply means your sin is not you. And you discount it. You confess those sins every day. Lord, I was angry today. Lord, I did this wrong, and so on and so forth. And by doing that, you stay right with God. Is it you doing that? No. It's actually you're just entering into his rest. You're just entering into what he already accomplished. You're believing him, and by believing him, you're actually acting that way. There isn't a person on earth that cannot behave. There's not a person on earth that can't behave. Anybody can be a hypocrite. Anybody can be under a law. But what you need is to have the power of the Holy Spirit operating in you. That's chair 5 and chair 6 that we've been talking about. So we need to go through the suffering. If you don't go through the suffering, you won't be glorified. So we have to be ready when he comes back, and he's only going to take his bride. He's only going to take those that are ready. The foolish virgins will not make it. And he said to them, depart from me, you evildoers. You did evilly because you tried to be a Christian, chair 4, and you slipped back into chair 1 or 2 because you want part of this world and part of Jesus. You can't do it that way. You have to be a 100% for Jesus to the death. We overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, past, Word of our testimony, present. And future. We love not our lives to the death. You don't love your life here. You realize that you were created to be a steward of God, a trustee of God, a servant of God, a son of God, a daughter of the King. We are all born to become something other that God created us to be. And with your free will, with your free will, you're able to say, you read the word and it convicts you. That's the truth. And it sets you free. It convicts you because you read the word. If anyone does not read the word, it's very difficult for them to be then pure because you haven't read the word because you didn't regard it as God's word. And that's the mistake that people in the world today are making, and why when Jesus comes back, the first group he's going to take care of are those that are close to Israel, even relatives of. They would be the ones that hate Israel more than any other. You don't know who that is, but I'm just telling you. Those people who are part of relatives, they're relatives. They're the ones that Israel was told when she went into the land, don't harm those people. They come from some of your ancestors. Don't harm them. Leave them alone. They're Lot's children. They came out of Lot and his wife and that whole arena there. But don't do anything to them. Even when they attack you and disrespect you, don't do anything to them. They're the ones that hate the Jesus the most. And they will be the three. I'm naming it to you. They will be the three that the Antichrist will overthrow, overcome, in order to then continue what the Bible has said. So I want you to read the Bible, otherwise you won't understand what's going on. Everything up there is not anything now. Everything up there is not anything now. The only thing that is one, and all six of those churches up to Philadelphia, and now we're in the last church, so you are actually now in the last church. It means Jesus is coming back soon. It means Jesus is coming back soon. So I give it 10 to 15, 20 years. I don't know how long. Nobody knows. But I give it, the people that you're looking at today are the people that are going to be there in that position. And so you are part of the people that I want to be holy. How? How do you be holy? Just read the word and believe it. Believe that God is good. You're not, but God is. You're not perfect, but God is. You can't heal yourself, but God can. You can't do anything, but God has already. And he's willing to do that for us so that we might be set aside, so that people could see us and say, those people are godly people. They live a holy life even though they're persecuted. Anyone who lives a holy life, a godly life, will be persecuted. So this is a message for sinners who become born again, spirit-filled, and spirit-led. You are now to become heavenly children. You're not terrestrial children like everybody else. You are celestial children. God is now wanting in these last days to fulfill everything that's up there. Everything that's up there is the future. 1,000 years followed by 1,260 days. And what Jesus does, as soon as he comes back, he has to receive his bride, deliver her from those who hold her now. He has to deliver us because, you see, you remember the parable of the weeds and the wheat. You're the wheat. And I want you to make sure you're the wheat. I want to be holy for God. It's not something you do. It's something you believe. It's not something you do. It's something you believe. But when you believe it, it will change your decisions. It will change your decisions. If I'm a child of God, then I need to be doing this. And I have to ask him, what's good? What's evil? You'll never know what good and evil is. You'll never know what good and evil is. Those are secrets inside of God, but he's revealed them all in the scriptures. Everything he's revealed is yours, but everything he's hidden is still hidden in him. There are many things that he knows about timing about everything that's going on, everything is working your way. Do you understand that? Everything is working your way if you're a believer. If you're not a believer, you're not the light of the world. You're not the salt of the earth. You are not the temple of the living God. So when the Antichrist sits in the temple, number three, when the Antichrist sits in the temple and says, I am God, the God you're looking for, you'll know he's a liar because you know the scripture. And you know that during that time, you will be refuged away in a special place if you're part of the wise virgins. If not, you have to do some thinking. Because a lot of people today who are Christian, most people that today are Christians, are not. They do make provision for the flesh all the time. And they don't confess those things to God. They don't say, God, I was angry right there. I was bitter right there. I was anxious and so on and so forth. You have to be before God and tell him every day, this is what I did. It's evil. It's wrong. Change it. You can't change it, but he can change it. He can then get you to read a certain scripture or whatever. I don't know how he does it. Well, however he does it, it works. And it's powerful. So he can make you into a new creation. Do not think that God is just saving you without good works. Good works will follow faith. They don't precede faith. We're not doing good so that he'll accept us. No, he's already accepted us. And now he wants us to do good because of what Jesus did for you and now in you and now through you so that you're perfect. And when he's coming back for a perfect bride. And so if you think, well, I'll get away with this because God is merciful. No, you won't. God's mercy ends when your faith ends. And if you only have faith in him as Savior, you'll miss out. So many who believe that, oh, yeah, I believe Jesus saved me. I believe he's, sitting and he's going to come back someday. Well, he's going to come back soon. I'm just telling you right now, I cannot live out this year without telling you everything that God has shown me. I have to tell you. I have to. It's a burden on me. I can't die right now. I can't. I should, but I can't. But God has said, finish what I told you to do. And he's giving me assignments. And I have to do those. And so I don't fear anybody else. I don't fear anybody else. I don't want to join anybody else. I don't want to be part of anything else. I want to do what God told me to do. And this is my church. This is the only church I have. One in Dallas and so on. Going around the world and so on. We have millions of people that listen to the messages and so on throughout the world. But that doesn't mean anything to me because I'm not seeing them from day to day. We are going to go to Uganda, right? Greg? David? Are you going? Praise God. I think David and his daughter, his youngest daughter, they also are going, and some other people, many others that I could mention. But anyway, we're going there because we haven't finished there. It isn't food and clothing and building buildings and buying cows and pigs and chickens. That's not what they need right now. They have all that. What they need now is the gospel truth as to what is ahead of us. Because the early church only focused on baptism. The medieval church only focused on the Lord's Supper, in other words, fellowship with him present. But this church, we have to focus on what's ahead of us because it's coming in a little while. All of this thing could be over. In 10 years, it could easily be over. In 10 years, it could easily be over. You don't know when Jesus is coming back, but he'll come back after the 1,260 days. That's 3.5 years, almost 4 years. So this could be Trump's first term and Trump's second term, and then, in a couple of years, it could happen, in 10 years. Or it could be just his first term, and the enemy then jumps in at the second term to try to replace him with a devil figure. Or it could be his third term. Whatever term it is, it could be soon. And we don't know when. And I'm not even curious. I don't even want to know other than what the Bible has told me. And I can see things are exactly as the Bible said they would be. And all those mysteries in the Bible of wickedness, all those mysteries out of the world you live in. And did you know that God said, I'm going to send you as sheep out in the midst of wolves? How many know that you are living in a world full of wolves? All kinds of wolves. But they can't harm you if you believe in Jesus and trust in him. Because we're the only people. There's no others. You cannot have any others. It has to be not us as a church, but us as a people of God. We're the ones that feel, let's go all the way with Jesus. Let's not say, let's be part of the first resurrection, but maybe there'll be a second one. Let's bank on that. I don't want to bank on that. I don't know if there'll be a second. There's no scripture that absolutely guarantees it. There's scriptures that indicate that God could be merciful even to people that don't make it when Jesus immediately comes back. In other words, that could be expanded because of his mercy. That's Exodus 33:19. I'll be merciful to whom I've been merciful, and I will show compassion or favor to whom I will show compassion or favor. So God can do that at any time. He can forgive any sinner, anything at all. So I don't know how many are going to be. All I know is the first group, I'm going to be part of that one. It's the only one that's mentioned. Happy is the man that. In other words, happy is the church, that is the wise virgins who have oil in their lamp, that is, their lamp will not go out for a few hours, or oil in their vessel, which is yourself, to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, not just have oil in your lamp. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. There's more to it. That light that's in there needs to be filled up in case he delays. In case something happens, that he should delay and not come out of his, where he is in a tent. He's actually in a tent somewhere, according to the Old Testament. And we're actually in another waiting place, waiting for our beloved to send his best friend, which is the bridegroom's friend, best man, who comes to us and says, behold, at midnight comes the cry. Then you know, oh, wow, you have to be ready. So I pray that all those five virgins are ready, and all those other five, which will not be ready, will go into the shambles, will go into the places that you buy oil and try to get the Holy Spirit at the last minute. And he said to him, I don't know who you are. I don't recognize you. Did you say Lord, Lord, or did you say Savior, Savior? If they had said Savior, Savior, he would maybe have forgiven them, probably so. But because they said, Lord, Lord, he said, well, no, you weren't with me the day that I said, if you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I tell you, you're not one of mine. Oh. Oh, maybe that's where we goofed up. Well, those foolish virgins may have another chance. They may. I don't know. But all I know is you better pray. You have to pray for your enemies. Pray for people. As many, that's why we pray for the nations here. You better pray for people throughout the whole world, because there are millions and millions and millions of people that belong in the body of Christ. And they're not, because Christians are reluctant to witness, because they're not even familiar with what's in the scriptures. They don't even know the word. How can you share the word, which is truth, the only truth, if you don't even know it? So faith cometh by hearing. Oh, I know all those stories. I learned it as a child. That's great, but you have to live it. It's not only read it, believe it, but keep it. It's the keeping that's the problem. That's chair 6, because that's where the lovers come from. And that's where, when men see that you love the Lord and you spend time with him, he actually speaks to you every day. He speaks to you every day and tells you new things, things that are in the Bible or that may be something else that God has told you specifically. It's just for you. And you need to know that. And so I can't grade myself, because I don't know how I'm doing. But I feel some of you are not reading your Bible every day. And that's something I should say. Read it. Just read it without faith. Just read it. Just read it. Because it will convict you if you just read it. Because faith cometh by hearing. So maybe you were born again, but you slipped away. Well, then read it again. Read it until it convicts you. Because the whole Bible convicts you every day, every day, every day. I'm not perfect yet. I'm not yet perfect. I'm not yet arrived at where Jesus is. Because you should be Christ-like when he comes back and he recognizes you're one of my brides. You're one of mine. You're a heavenly one. You are celestial. You are not terrestrial. This is not your home here. Your home is with me. Now, you see in number 5, I haven't written it out. Well, maybe it is written up there. It says, God in the heavens, the seventh heaven, God in the seventh heaven is up there. That's where God lives. That's not a heaven that he created. That's a non-natural heaven. Then we will be in the heavens that he did create, exactly where Satan used to live. That's where Satan, when he was thrown out, he dropped down to earth, and now he could manipulate earth close up because he and 1/3 of the angels did not believe what God had said, that he had picked us to be his bride rather than an angel. You can see if you were an angel, you could maybe see how they didn't like that. And so they didn't keep their spot. They didn't keep their place, which God had assigned them to be my servants up here. So they drifted away. Whenever you don't keep God's spot, for example, why are the Muslims trying to take over Israel? There's only 12 tribes, and there can't be 13. So why would they try to be taken over? They want to be 13, where they kick out all Israel, so she never arrives at her inheritance. That's evil. That's completely evil because God already put you in your place. You have 12 kingdoms. You don't need to be in Israel. That's a 13th for you. You need to stay in your 12. But they also have hated with a perpetual hatred. Never dies. Never. Until God puts the last enemy under his feet. And that will be death itself. But they will be the first that Jesus judges when he comes back, in order to deliver his bride from the wicked ones. I could tell you exactly where that spot is. I could tell you from what country. I can tell you a lot of things, but they're all in the Bible. Read your Bible, because it's your life. It's your life is in that Bible. I'm not just preaching this to get a collection or something. I'm just, could we now take the offering? No, I'm not doing it, because I believe that God has assigned us. And I'm staying in my place. And my place is to be the servant of the living God, to be the trustee of the Lord, to be the steward of the living God, and give it a good report that he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Isn't that your goal? Isn't that everyone here's goal? Is to hear the Lord say, good and faithful servant. Even though we've sinned, we have sinned. Everyone here has sinned. Everyone. But you're not held accountable. Jesus died for you to save you from your sins, to salvage you, to buy you out of the marketplace, to purchase you for the Father. Because God's not mad at you. Never been mad at anybody. He's never been mad. Never been mad at any people, at any time. Haman, I don't care who you name. He's not mad at them. What he sees is they're choosing, and he knows by foreknowledge what they choose. He didn't make them choose it. He sees by foreknowledge, these people hate Israel. And he's written it down in the Bible. It's written down, these people hate Israel. And so Israel couldn't attack them because they're relatives, but they could attack Israel and keep her from her heritage. You can read that in the 2 Chronicles 26:6. You want to read that. There's a lot of things in the Bible you don't know about, a lot of things that are there that give you clues as to how God is going to rule this world, and only the righteous will survive. You'll survive because you have faith in Jesus. You won't survive because you haven't gone through trouble. You'll survive because even though you've gone through trouble, you came out saying, it's my own sin, and I'm going to praise God, and I'm going to bless my enemies. That's faith. That's faith. Then you became 4, 5, and 6. I confess my own sin. Believe in Jesus. Give him all the praise. And then I became a lover. That's what Jesus is looking for. So, getting back to the story. They came into town. Jesus then was praised by all the people. They sang these songs to him when he came into town to be king, and they rejected him, saying to them, "Go into the village over against you. Straightway you find an ass tied to a colt. Loose them, bring them to me. If any man ought unto you, say, 'The Lord has need of them,' and straightway he will send them," just like when you ask him. All this was done that it might be fulfilled by the prophet, saying, "Tell you the daughter of Zion," verse 5, "Behold, the king cometh to you." He's not thinking about it. He's actually coming to you. "Meek and sitting on an ass and a colt of the foal of an ass." And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. And they brought the ass and the colt, put them on them, their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude, millions, spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strewed them in the way. Jesus is the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, "Hosanna to the Son of David." This is David's son, Jesus. "Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Hosanna in the highest." What he's saying is not that Jesus is Hosanna in the highest. He's saying the Father is. But he's actually saying Jesus is also. Because Jesus is the Son of God. So he's saying Jesus in the highest. In other words, he's pleasing his Father. Which means the Son always pleases the Father. Always, without exception. At no point did he not please his Father, because the Father's already pleased with him. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this? Who is this one? Who is this one trying to be king, or, you know, having all the people say Hosanna and all that stuff? That let's kill that guy. That's not a good thing." And the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." Galilee is the place up north that's called the Branch, because he comes from Nazareth. And so this is a place up north where the branch, which was a twig out of the stump of Jesse in the 11th chapter of Isaiah, that stump is now become a branch. And now that branch is his. He's the first fruits out of the dead. You're now going to be the first fruits of that first fruits. And so you're going to be the ones that are ready when Jesus comes back again. Hallelujah. Let's see, where am I? Okay. "And the multitude said, 'This is Jesus the prophet.'" Everyone held John to be a prophet. Now everyone's holding Jesus to be a prophet. They didn't know who really he is. He is the Savior. He is the one that takes away the sins of the world. He's more than prophet. He's more than Lord. He's more than just your bridegroom coming back. He is everything. "And Jesus went into the temple of God." Now he's into the temple. He didn't go into the Holy of Holies. He didn't go into the holy place. He went into the temple, which is the outer court, beyond even the women. He's actually in the outer court where anyone can come. "And he cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold dove. And he said to them," it's written, "My house shall be called a house of prayer," praying, praising, thanking God, "but you have made it a den of thieves." All the money is made in the church today, not here, but all the money is made in the church today to support the ministers. It's actually to support those who are not going to tell you the full truth, what you need to hear. And so all the money that's today, you make a lot of money off of currency exchange. Tons. That's where the really, really big, and only banks do this for the most part, or wealthy donors do it. And they're able to make tons of money off of this currency exchange. So the church is in on that. they're in on this currency exchange. And even though you own one denarii, they'll say, well, 10 of yours equals ours. And it's the same amount of metal, perhaps. But they'll say, your silver dollar doesn't work here, and so on and so forth. So they were making tons of money off of him. This is the few days, 1 week, before he's crucified. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Isn't that funny? All of a sudden, he's there casting out, you know, pigeons and whatever else, turtle doves and so on. But then he's also freeing all the cows and everything that's there. And he's freeing everything to let it go, lambs and goats, and get all out of here. And they're running around, and everybody is saying, what is he doing? And all of a sudden, he quits that because he told them the answer. And then he went ahead and healed all the people that were there. Anyone that was sick, he healed them all. How many know that when God judges someone, he also saves someone? How many know this is a scriptural pattern? If God judges someone who is an enemy, let's say one of those three nations that I just told you about, that the Antichrist is going to, you know, set you, you know, he's going to pull them up by the roots. How many know that he will also save those people too? So everybody in that country is not a bad guy. Some will be saved, some will not. So every time God does something bad, then he's there for the righteous there to be saved. So he's always there for you. He's always kind to you and always vengeful toward others. His wrath and his vengeance. You remember, it says in the Bible that they're afraid of Jesus coming back, because when he comes back, they're afraid of the wrath of the Lamb. Now, how many know lambs are not very wrathful? I mean, if you ever saw a lamb, they're peaceful. They just chew the grass down from 4 inches to 2 inches, and the lambs then get the two to, down to one, and so on. They're friendly. They can't run. They can't kick. They can't bite. They can't do anything. They don't have a tail that they can hit you with. There's nothing. Yeah, so that's the deal with lambs. You're the Lamb of God. You are now his sheep. You're the sheep of his Father's pasture. And you are now, the Lord is my shepherd, I cannot want. I'm not going to ever want, because I just tell the Father. He's connected to me through Jesus. I just tell him, in Jesus' name, let this be so. In Jesus' name, let this be so. Powerful, powerful. What a God we serve. So he heals everybody that's sick that day, and people know, this is the guy, this is the guy. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. They were really angry about this. And Jesus, and they said to him, don't you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said to them, yea, have you not read? Out of the mouths of babies and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. How many know that unless you become as a little child, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven? So he wants this to be for children. Children can come into this. And these sucklings and babies are the ones that Jesus wants in his kingdom, because they're not relying on their brain or their mind, or they just do what mom says and take off what shirt she says to take off and whatever. They don't know what they're doing. I wish that you were like little children and you believed what you heard from God's word so that you could live by it. But unfortunately, we have too many brains. We have too many people that think and too many people that feel and, oh, I'm going by my feelings. I know that I shouldn't do that, blah, blah, blah. This is all nonsense and talk. The scripture is against your feelings, against your mind, against your will, against your imagination, against everything in you until you're dead. When you lose your life, you find it. As soon as you keep your life, you lose it. As soon as you keep your life, you're trying to keep yourself going. That's the lukewarm church. They tried to mix Jesus with the world, Jesus with the world with Jesus. No, it doesn't work that way. All the way with Jesus. And Jesus said to them, don't you know, haven't you read? Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, they have perfected praise. That's where it comes from. And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, nearby city, right there on the Mount of Olives, and he lodged there. So now it's night. But in the morning, this is the next morning, Monday morning, he returned to the city
And he hungered. He said he was hungry. He hadn't eaten breakfast. And when he saw the fig tree in the way, fig tree in the way, I told you, fig tree means Israel, in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only. So the purpose of a plant is not to produce leaves. The purpose of the plant is to produce the fruit it was supposed to produce. And these fig trees should be figging it, but they're not. Let no fruit, this is what he said to it, let no fruit grow on you henceforth forever. So these trees, I'm telling you, these trees are now friends of Israel today, and they hate her guts. You don't know that because you didn't read the Bible. Know that by reading the Bible. These people are friends today, and they turn on Israel and betray them because their deepest heart is perpetual hatred against Israel. I can name them so clearly. They're throughout the scripture. And when the disciples saw it, they said, "Wow, how soon is the fig tree withered away?" But Jesus answered and said to them, "Truly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but you also, if you shall say to a mountain, 'Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea,' it shall be done." Now, a mountain refers to kings, emperors, princes, people that run the political system. They're the heads of nations, cities. "Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done." If you think that was great, wait and see this. "And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." When he was come to the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching. And he said, "By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave you this authority?" And Jesus answered and said, "I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I in likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things." The baptism of John. Where is it from? Heaven or of men? And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "Well, if we say from heaven, he'll say to us, 'Why do you not believe in him?' But if we say of men, we fear the prophet, the people, for all hold John to be a prophet." So they answered, "Well, we cannot tell," and so on and so forth. Now, slip to the end, and we'll close here. Verse 37, he's telling these parables, one parable after another. "Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise kill them. But last of all, God, the one that sent them, he said unto them, he sent unto them his son, saying, 'They will reverence my son.'" Surely, God said, "they'll reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let's kill him and let us seize on his inheritance.'" These are the people that hate Israel today. They don't want Israel to ever go back to their land. During number 5, they'll be in their land. They will be preeminent on the earth. The Jewish people will be restored to the original kingdom all the way to the Euphrates River, way over in Iraq and Iran, all the way to Syria up north where all the fighting is, and all the way down south unto the into Africa. How far it goes, we don't know. I'm just telling you how far this is. It's big. And every place that Abraham walked, that's what David then tried to rescue when he was king. But he wasn't doing it all, because there are certain places that he didn't conquer right away, but later conquered it. And so it looks like that Davidic kingdom, when will you restore the kingdom to Israel? He answered it right here at the end of time. It has to be where the Father has fixed it at the end of time. That last day, the day of the Lord, that's the day you will see us fulfill that scripture. Israel will be Lord over the nations. But they'll be under God the Father, the Lamb and His bride, us, and we'll be ruling them to tell us what the Father said. And they will obey this time because it'll be a kingdom of righteousness and justice and truth. Even though they're not believers, many of them are just there to get the land back. And many of those under them, the nations of the world, group number four, they're just being there because they're doing what they're behaved, because they're, the consequence of not going to the Jewish temple or the consequence of not coming under the law, the consequence of that kind of religious feeling will be gone from them because they don't want the punishment. That's what people are moved by. Don't punish me. Don't afflict me. But the way we come into the kingdom is through affliction. That's why chair number five always follows four, so that it can lead to six. So God doesn't want you to try the easy way. He wants you to be for Him, for His purposes, for His whole pleasure. How many of you are excited about hearing this message and glad that I preached it? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. Because you're all going to hell if you don't. I'm just kidding you. Just joking. No. You don't have to believe it. If you don't believe it, don't believe it. I'm just telling you, this is good news for you. It's good news for your body. It's good news for everything you touch. This God has never punished His people. You may think He does. He chastens you, but He doesn't punish you. And the only reason He chastens you is so you repent. And the only reason you repent is so that you can comfort yourself with the good news of God, because God knows more about you than you. You don't even know anything about you. You don't even know why you were born, why you're here, except you read it in the Bible. So you're here to please the Lord so that these end times, which I can preach on now, these were always in the Bible. They've always been there. They're in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. They're in the wisdom literature. They're in all the Psalms and Proverbs and so on. They're also in all the prophets. All these prophets are all about end times. They're not about the beginning. They're not about the past or the present. They were then, and they had an immediate fulfillment then, but now they're all about the future. That's our future. Our future is glorious. It's splendid forever, and only the righteous will make it. No one will be in heaven that isn't righteous. Spirit, soul, body, even neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord, love your neighbor. That's it. That's all He's after. That's all He's after. David, I want you to be like that, doing the will of God. You know when you've done wrong things. You know that. Thank you. But Jesus forgives you. He has forgiven you that. It's over. It's on the cross. It's not going to come up again. You're now pure. And God wants you to continue in that pureness. Daniel, the same. Same. What you've done, forgiven. Now continue in the Lord's work. Why? Because that's powerful. That's powerful. Powerful. Now, Danny. No, that's just gotta keep going. So God is good. You have an awesome God. And He just wants to spend time with you. He wants to spend unhurried time with you. And wake up every day giving praise to Him, confessing your sin, read the Bible, whatever. If you can't wake up at 6 o'clock, wake up at 5. It doesn't matter. Don't just go to work and think this is all there is to life, what I do on a daily basis. No, life is not that. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's everything. Because He finishes everything. What He's done for you, nobody can repeat. It'll never be repeated, what He did. So you're not going to have a new Bible. You're not going to have new additions to the Bible. I'm not saying God isn't doing things. I'm saying He's only acting according to what's written. He won't act according to what's not written. So what's written is you'll be blessed forever. Amen. Does that make sense, Crockett? Does that make sense? You know why? Because Jesus loves you, and He wants you to be pure. But nobody here is pure, but He has paid for that. He has blessed us all that way. So you don't have to worry about your sins. They were taken care of when He died on the cross. That's when you died.
You're no longer you. You're a new you, another you, a different you than you were before, an absolutely different you, a new creation, kine katesis, a new creation that's never been on earth before. All this is heavenly. All of this, as soon as Jesus comes back, number four, it's over for us. It's over for us. You will be forever in God's family. All right. Larry, closing prayer.